NATO foreign affairs ministers are meeting for a special summit on Ukraine. It comes as allies tighten sanctions on Vladimir Putin's inner circle. At a news conference with the US Secretary of State, NATO's Secretary General condemned Russian shelling on the Zaporizhzhia nuclear site as reckless.
We condemn the attacks on civilians, and over the night we've also seen reports about the attack against a nuclear power plant. This just demonstrates the recklessness of this war and the importance of ending it, and the importance of Russia withdrawing all its troops and engaging good faith in diplomatic efforts.
Every ally, in one way or another, is coming to Ukraine's assistance. Every ally, in one way or another, is helping to strengthen NATO itself. And as the Secretary General said, ours is a defensive alliance. We seek no conflict. But if conflict comes to us, we're ready for it. And we will defend every inch of NATO territory.
Our diplomatic editor James Bayes is live for us in Brussels. James, so another meeting, a flurry of meetings in the past week. What's happening today?
Well, yes, we've got NATO ministers meeting, foreign ministers. They're joined by some other countries, Sweden and Finland, which aren't NATO members, and the European Union represented at this meeting. And then the other way around in the afternoon, when it'll be the European Union meeting and non-members of the European Union, like the US and the UK and the NATO Secretary General, will be attending that meeting. I think the idea is to look at what they've done so far and see if there's anything more that they can do. Clearly, they've gone further, I think, than many of the ministers thought they would at the start of this conflict in terms of sanctions. And I think they'll be looking at what other measures they can take. But you're not going to see these foreign ministers here at NATO doing what the Ukrainian government would want, and that's to actively support the Ukrainians, perhaps with a no-fly zone. A no-fly zone would need to be enforced by NATO aircraft. We've seen how that works in Libya. We saw how it worked with Kosovo. They would have to be, those NATO aircraft, potentially shooting down Russian aircraft. Then you have a war involving NATO and Russia, and of course the US is a member, the biggest member of NATO. You then effectively have a world war and World War III. So that is something that they will not countenance, and I don't think that is being suggested by any of the 30 NATO members who are now meeting in their closed meeting. I think some, though, of the NATO members, and particularly those that are close to Russia, have borders with Russia, are concerned. We've seen major reinforcement of those countries in the last couple of weeks, but some, for example, the Latvian foreign minister on his way into the meeting said it was time to go from a deterrence mission to a full-scale defensive mission. Now, what he means by that, whether he wants even more troops, that's not clear, but I suspect that many of the Baltic states would certainly like to see the presence of these troops, including US troops, made more permanent. The NATO Secretary General has called the situation now the new normal. And in many ways, you could divide NATO's history. 1945 to 1989 was the Cold War. 1989, until a couple of weeks ago, was phase two. He now says we're in a new normal, but some NATO nations say will require a different position of forces in the future.
James Bayes, diplomatic editor in Brussels. Thank you.